Hi, my name's Erin and we're here to interview Father Terry.
Hi, my name's Harrison and we're interviewing Father Terry.
Hi, my name's Crystal and I'm here interviewing Father Terry.
Is anything important happening to the church now and what?
Something important's going to happen a little bit later this year. We've got to have a new roof. And you think a new roof on a church like this, it's not like having a new roof on your house. Right. Do you know what's on the roof, what it's made of?
Is it stone?
It's not stone.
Brick.
Wood.
It's not wood. What's above the wood?
Brick.
No.
Paint.
I know what it is, but
it's lead.
Lead.
It's lead. That's right. If you look at the porch when you go, you'll see that it's got lead on it.
Of course, right. Lead's very expensive, isn't it?
Lead's very expensive. We've had it stolen before and had to have it put back. And what they found in this roof, the roof there, was that it got something called Death Watch Beetle, dry rot, and it eaten away at the wood. So the wood was just powder. So we had that repaired at £60,000 it cost us. But sadly, this beetle and dry rot's gone in the main roof. So now we've got to have that repaired, and it's probably going to be, and work on the tower as well, and it's probably going to be about £400,000. So it's an awful lot of money, and we are applying to the Heritage Lottery Fund to see if they'll give us a grant. So there's perhaps in the end of September, in October, the church, you won't see it as you see it now, it'll probably be covered in scaffolding. Scaffolding and some inside as well, so it might be very difficult when we want to have some services. But so it's going to be there's going to be a big change towards the end of the year.
What's your favourite hymn and why?
Oh my goodness, what's my favourite hymn? There's a hymn and you won't know it called Immortal Invisible, and it's a hymn that we all had to sing at school when I was perhaps your age at primary school. And it's just one that's stuck in my mind. We still sing it today. It's still in the hymn books. But it talks about God being very important and God very wise and looking and caring for us.
Was it a church in the past? And if not, why?
Was this a church in the past? Yeah, this has always been a church. Okay. People built it. Perhaps in the 1300s, 1400s, they would build it. And it would cost quite a lot of money. But if you think... I mean, Borough Church compared... have you seen Boston Stump or Louth Church or Lincoln Cathedral?
I've seen.
Right, if you compare those, Borough Church is quite small. But still, if you think of the tower, when they built the tower, there'd be no machines, nothing like that. There'd be no health and safety policy. So I'm sure a lot of men would actually lose their lives, either if a piece of stone fell on them or they fell off the scaffolding that they'd got. But they started to build this church here in Borough. I'm not sure whether the other one was built first, St Mary's, but it went in the 1500s, so it was probably built before this one. But then they built this church, and there were two at one time. St Mary's fell down, and they kept this one going. So it's always been a church. And people would perhaps spend some money, give some money towards its upkeep, like some people do today. Because you have the right, those people who live in Borough, everyone has the right, whether they come to church or not, to be christened here, to be married here, and to be buried here. And that's what being part of what we call the Church of England. So you all have the right to do that. So the church is here for everyone, not just for those who come on a Sunday or for your school, but it's here for everybody.
Previously, has the church been Roman Catholic, or has it always been a Church of England?
Yeah. If you listen, when I was talking inside the church, when this church was built in 1400s, right, the whole world would have been Catholic, right, Catholic, and the head of the church would have been the Pope, and he lived in Rome. That's right, yeah, right. And then, as I said, when Henry VIII came along. Right, if you remember, he had a lot of wives, didn't he? Right, well, it wasn't right. He wanted the Pope to allow him to divorce one of his wives and marry another one, and another one, and another one. And, of course, the Pope said no. And Henry VIII was so cross that he decided that instead of the Pope being the head of the church, he was going to be the head of the Church of England. So, sadly, the Church of England split away from the Catholic Church. So there was the Roman Catholic Church, then there was the Church of England. And that's why a lot of things like statues, crosses, stained glass windows, all those sorts of things would have been destroyed because people thought it smacked of being Roman Catholic. When we've got some things back now, but at the time it would have been.
Did anything inspire you, and what?
Did it inspire me to what?
To be a priest. Minister.
Be a priest. Well, I always went to church from the age of four, and I think my mum and dad sent me to Sunday school to get me out of the way for an hour, really. And if you're thinking in the late 1950s, right, so it's a long time ago, and then an awful lot of children went to Sunday schools. Now, sadly, they don't. We've got a Sunday school here, but there's not a lot of people come to it. But so they went. And then as I grew older, I was what's called confirmed. And that's when the bishop came, and he did that to you, Aaron, a couple of weeks ago. He comes, and you're confirmed, and you become like an adult member of the church. And then I used to what we call serve. Right, and that's help the priest at the services. But when I left school, I went to work in a shop. I never thought I was brainy enough to actually be a priest. And then one day a priest actually said to me, have you ever thought about becoming a priest? Much easier to find shop assistants than it is priests. And I just said, no, I'm not brainy enough. Anyway, it's a bit of a long story, but I had to do some O-levels because I didn't have any qualification when I left school, so I had to get five O-levels, then go for an interview, and then I got turned down the first time, then I went back again and I got through the second time, and I did a course before I went to college, and then I went to college for 2 years at Lincoln, and then I was what they call ordained, and that's 30 years ago. So it was really a journey growing up from a child, really. But it was that priest who said to me, have you ever thought about becoming a priest?
Didn't Colin Bowden also, did he go to the same college as you?
No, he would go to a Baptist college, whereas I went to a Church of England college. And sadly, the one at Lincoln now, when it's closed now, it's not there anymore. So, okay. Yeah.
Are you planning to do anything soon, and what?
Isn't that the question similar to the one about
the roof?
Not sure.
I mean, what we want to try and do is perhaps to do things. I mean, we have our regular service and everything that happens, but we want to perhaps do one or two different things. And later this year, what we're thinking of doing is actually what we call a renewal of marriage vows. So when people get married, if they get married in church, they make some vows to each other. Okay, yeah. And a couple of did it last Saturday, they'll do it this Saturday, Saturday after. And sometimes it's nice for them to come back and actually renew those vows. If they've been married a long time or not very long, it's good for them to actually come back to thank God for their marriage and to renew their marriage vows. And that's something that, as far as I know, hasn't been done here. So we're going to do that on a Saturday later on in the year, the renewal of marriage vows.
Do you get many people come on Sunday?
It sort of depends what you call many, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, lots, yeah.
I mean, in this day and age, as I said, you know, you if I said to you, would you like to come to church, or would you rather go and play football or netball or go to a car boot sale? What would you say?
Church.
I would say netball.
You would say? Netball, right. And if you think up to probably, 20, 30 years ago, you couldn't play football on a Sunday, yeah. Right? There wouldn't be anything such things as car boot sales. And when I went to work in shop work, they weren't open on a Sunday.
No.
Sundays was a special day that you had with your family or in came to church. And, of course, those things have changed now. So on a Sunday, there's so many and sometimes people have to work on a Sunday now. Sometimes children whose perhaps families have split up, they might go and stay with their other mum or dad at the weekend. So it can be very difficult, but we normally, I mean, Erin comes, you're here most weeks, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yes, and we usually perhaps about 70 or 80 in the morning. We still have an evening service, which many churches don't. Many churches just have one service, but we have two services here on a Sunday. So at 6 o'clock we have a service called Even Song, and it's a service that was put together in 1662, when our prayer book, not the present prayer book, the old prayer book, was put together, 1662. It's the service out of that. So it's an old service, and we don't get many, perhaps 30, 35 at that. But it's people who perhaps, some people come twice, some people prefer the evening to the morning, that sort of thing. So,
are you planning to be a minister, like, for the rest of your life, and why?
You mean when I'm retiring, is that what it is? All right, well, when you're ordained, and there's a difference between being a vicar or a rector and being a priest, right? So when, and this might be a bit difficult to understand, when you're actually ordained, that's the first time you put on a dog collar, all right, and start doing things, you're actually called a deacon, and that's like a learner. And you work with a senior priest for a year, and then you go and become a vicar or a rector. And so I did my, it wasn't 3 years, it was 3 years, I did at Sleaford. And then when I had finished at Sleaford, I went to some four villages near Spalding. And then 22 years ago, this January, I came here. But after a year of being a deacon, then you go back to the cathedral and the bishop comes in and you're made a priest, you're ordained a priest. So after that, you can celebrate communion, right? You can give the blessing, you can hear confessions, but you're a priest until the day you die, right? So I'll be a priest till the day I die, but I won't be the vicar or rector of Borough till the day I die.
You don't have to wear a dog collar, do you?
When you retired?
No.
Now?
When you're actually doing it.
Like when
you're Because Colin
are
doesn't.
No, you see, in the Church of England, you do. You do. We have. Baptists don't. Some ministers don't wear, I mean, the special clothes, like when I come on a Friday, the black cassock. I mean, they don't have clothes like that, or the vestments, or incense. They wouldn't have anything like that. So it's a different tradition. But so I'm a priest till the day I die, but when the time comes, and I'm 63 now, all right, so I've been here a long time, the time comes when I feel that I've got to retire, then I won't be the vicar or the rector. It'll be another man. It won't be me. Then I'll go and retire, and I'll go and live somewhere away from Borough.
When are you like planning to retire?
Or are you planning to retire?
Yeah, that's the question.
I was planning to retire when I was 66.
Oh.
Then I'll have been here 25 years. I thought that's quite a good time to go. But somebody said to me, "Well, what will you do?" And I thought, because I haven't got any family, I haven't got any brothers or sisters or family, anything like that, now. So I thought, well, what would I do? So I thought, well, I might stay here another year or two, see how I feel, if I've got the strength to do the job. Because you do get very tired. You think I've been doing this job here 22 years.
Yeah.
So I was quite, what was I, maybe 40, 41 when I came here, I'm 63 now.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, you get more and more tired. And you think, can you still do it in another, you know, 4 or 5 years' time? So it'll be a little bit of watch this space. So I might be here in 4 or 5 years' time. I might have retired.
How many people does this church hold?
It all depends how big they are. If they're your size, that a lot. If they're my size, it wouldn't be so many, would it?
No.
Right. Well, I think we could get a couple of hundred in. And I mean, if you think of the services that we have at Christmas, like the Christmas tree service and the Christingle services, over 200 people. I mean, obviously, and the carol, your school carol service, right? People are standing all over the place, really, all over the place. So, but seated, I would think it's probably about a couple of hundred.
Okay.
Yeah.
What events do you have at the church?
What events, apart from services, you mean?
Well, and services.
I mean, we always have, you know, services every week, and we have services in the week as well, right? Every day, I am supposed to come to church and say morning prayer and evening prayer. I'm supposed to ring the bell, and I do that. And I'm usually, there's just me and Archie, right? But I just read through the service, and that's what I'm under an obligation to do as a priest. We have to do that. So we do that. Then we have other events, like we have something called the Mother's Union. That's a group of formidable ladies who come, and they have a service once a month. That's this afternoon. We have a choir practice. Right, bell ringing on a Wednesday evening. They come and bell ring, practice bell ringing. We've also got some handbells. I think some of you have seen the handbell ringers.
Yeah.
Right, they come and they practice, I think, on a Tuesday. Right, we've also got a church tea room, which is down near the Sunshine Children's Centre.
Yeah.
I don't know if it says community tea room. Well, we actually run that, and we started it a long time ago. Not not to raise money, but really just for people to go, if they're alone, is going to have a cup of tea, and it's still going. And the money that we raise, we give some of it to the church, but we usually give about £1,000, usually to the ambicopter, if you know the ambicopter.
Yes.
Right, we usually give £1,000 to the ambicopter a year, so...
Has anything bad happened to the church, and what?
Anything bad happened to the church?
The candles.
Right, well, of course, as I think you heard me say earlier, the lead.
Yeah, the lead was stolen.
The candles were stolen, but now people, I mean, you don't get anything for candles.
No.
You know, they want something big money.
Yeah.
Because sadly, what they want, what do you think they want the money for?
For their own selfish needs.
They probably want drugs or drink or whatever. Well, you know, you...
We need in life is family and friends, not money.
Well, you do, that's right. But you see, they get into that state where they don't realise that. Perhaps they haven't got any money.
Mm-hmm.
And so they come and they steal some lead. Because it is very expensive.
Yeah,
it's big money. And you could get rid of it quite easily at a scrap dealer. They would give you cash. And perhaps a couple of two or three years ago, there was a massive spate of lead theft all over the country, not just in Lincolnshire, all over the country. And so what the insurers insisted that these people do, we have to put something on the lead called smart water, and it's like a liquid. You can't see it. Yeah, there you go, there's a warning that says church protected by smart water, forensic systems, right? And that's got like a tiny little dab on it, on the lead, and if the lead got stolen, right, and the police find it, right, they can actually have a machine look at it, and they'll be able to tell where the lead came from, right? But a lot of the lead now they're not stealing it. I shouldn't say this because it'll probably all go tomorrow now, but they're not stealing as much lead now because they can't get easy money, right? If they take it to scrap yards, they have to give their names, they have to pay, the scrap people have to pay them by cheque. So we've had mainly it's lead, but the church is open every day from 9 until 5 o'clock time, so people can come in because people want to come in and perhaps just be quiet or say their prayers or light a candle or just look round at the history. So we're fortunate we can leave it open.
How old are the pews?
Old are the pews? I mean, they're obviously not as old as the rest of the church, because the church, the bit where year 6 sit, called the chancel, that was kind of like the holy bit. This bit would be like a marketplace. So it would be empty.
Really?
And people would sit on the floor. And in some churches, there's some stones, like we're sitting here on this, there's some stone seats, we haven't got them, down the side. And there's a saying about the weak go to the walls, right? And on a Sunday, people who couldn't stand for it, because the service wouldn't be just for an hour, it might be 2 or 3 hours. So the people who were poorly, couldn't stand, or elder, they would come and sit, and that's what they say about the weak go to the walls. Right, I think time's...
Would you like to bring your interview to a close, please? So what do we say to Father Terry?
Thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you.
You've asked
some interesting questions anyway, so well thought out. So
yeah,
perhaps if there's any more that you need to ask, I could always come to school and then answer them then. So,
thank you.
Right, thank you.